right, let's bring the court to order, please. Is there anyone that would like to volunteer to give our opening prayer this morning? Step up to the podium, if you would, please. That'd be great.
Father God, thank you so much that we serve a mighty King. Thank you that today is a day of new beginnings. Father, I just ask that you would continue to bless our county and continue to be with each of us. Father, allow us to serve you with goodness and grace and humility. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Amen. If you'll join me in our pledges to our United States and Texas flag.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Honor
the Texas flag. I pledge allegiance to thee, Texas, one state, under God, one and indivisible.
Let the record reflect that all members of court are present this morning, and commissioners, I would entertain a motion to approve our commissioner's court agenda.
Move.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Motion carries. Commissioners, if it's okay with y'all, Barbara Adamick has got another appointment that she'd like to get to. I'd like to move her item up on the agenda unless there's an objection to that. That would be item 15, I believe.
15A, I think it is.
15A on page 9. Barbara, if you're ready, go ahead.
Commissioners? I had an opening in my office as an admin too, I believe, and what I'm going to do, I'm not going to replace that position, and I'm going to, I'm reorganizing, and what I'm going to do is have section leaders. We have criminal, family, civil, and tax in our office, and I'm going to have a section leader for each, and with that section leader, with that salary, I'm just going to raise the salary of that leader a little bit, just to give them some incentive. And what they're going to do, what the section leader is going to do, they'll be working in that section. There'll be a worker in there. But they're also responsible for making sure everything is done on time and all the work gets done efficiently. So that's what I need here. And I think I'm actually saving a little bit of money, and I think it's 2 cents. Is that correct, Phyllis? So I'm asking you to just close that position, that one position, and I'm going to open it with the section leaders, 3 section leaders.
I move.
Second.
Any questions or comments? All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed?
Thank you so much.
Opposed.
Thank you.
Position.
Thank you.
Motion carries. Thank you, Barbara. All right. Proclamations and resolutions. Proclamation of appreciation.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Today I have a proclamation of appreciation for Chief Kevin Hostler. Whereas Kevin Hostler has served the citizens of Texas and Montgomery County with loyalty his entire professional career, and whereas he began his firefighting career in 1984 as a junior explorer member with the New Caney Volunteer Fire Department and served the citizens of New Caney for 19 years as a volunteer, and held several leadership positions from lieutenant to assistant fire chief. And whereas in 2000 he started his paid career with Porter Fire Department and Needham Fire Rescue Company. In 2004 he was promoted to the assistant fire chief of Needham until 2006 when he was hired as his current chief's position by Emergency Service District number 4. And whereas he served the citizens of Montgomery County through Hurricanes Ike, Katrina, and Rita, the duration of Montgomery County wildfires in 2011, the wildfire in Robert Lee, Texas in 2011, the floods of 2015, was deployed by TIFMAS in 2016 to the Deweyville, Texas floods for relief and recovery, and the Tax Day and May floods of 2016, and whereas he has received 7 life-saving awards, Rookie of the Year, Firefighter of the Year, the 500 Response Club Award twice, and the Fire Chief's Award, as well as Officer of the Year 3 times, and 2 Meritorious Service Awards, And whereas, after all his years in the fire service, Chief Hostler is still a firefighter's chief because he always looks out for his men and women. He makes sure everyone is safe and taken care of during any situation. And whereas, after the unsettling fire on May 12, 2017, where he was on the scene within minutes of the call, and the community lost three young children, Chief Kevin Hostler and Fire Marshal Jimmy Williams decided that something had to be done. And whereas Chief Kevin Hostler created, organized, and initiated the community outreach program to install 10-year lithium battery smoke detectors in the houses of the Tamna community, and whereas Chief Hostler completed the community outreach program on June 24, 2017, and continues to install smoke alarms in both the Tamna community and throughout the district, now therefore be it proclaimed that the Commissioners Court of Montgomery County, Texas, does hereby recognize and appreciate Kevin Hostler's service on the community outreach program to install smoke detectors to the Tamna community and throughout Montgomery Emergency Services District Number 4. And on a personal note, he's a pretty nice guy.
Chief, congratulations.
Congratulations.
Thank you all very much.
Job well done. The organization that you put together to put those smoke alarms in was impressive. There was a lot of firefighters out there that day.
Well, you know, all we did was just arrange the meeting. All the firefighters that showed up, the volunteers and everybody else, they did all the work. So hats off to those guys that stood out in the rain and did it.
Yeah, in a rainstorm, I might add.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Thank you all
well
very
done,
much.
Well done, Chief. Well done. All right, our presentation of the Employee of the Month for July. Good morning.
Good morning, Judge and Commissioners. I'm Katie Mermon. I'm the Recognition Coordinator for the Employees Committee. Today, we're going to be recognizing the employee for July, and if for that, I would like to have our County Attorney, J.D. Lambright, come up, please.
Good morning, Commissioners, and not to be rude, if you don't mind, I'll turn around and face this direction. It's such an honor and a privilege to be before you again, and I want to thank the selection committee that one of my staff is being recognized as the Employee of the Month, and maybe I could get a couple of helpers. Manny, could you give me a hand, and maybe Amy, both hands, perhaps. The committee has chosen my administrative manager, Natalie Durant, to be the Employee of the Month for the month of July. And I'd just like to take a brief moment to share a little bit of what some of the people had to say about Natalie when they submitted the applications. It says, everyone in my office knows how critical teamwork is to our overall ability to meet and exceed our clients' needs. Natalie is truly an ambassador in that regard. There is no task beneath her, and she never hesitates to help out whatever the need may be. The entire staff knows that she is always willing to pitch in. Another one said here, Natalie is an inspiration to work with. She is pleasant with all of her fellow coworkers, maintains a professional demeanor no matter who she may deal with, whether it's the public, elected officials, or fellow coworker. She helps out in any situation. And I think kind of one of the bottom lines I'll say, teamwork is so important in any organization. It's very important in mine, and having everybody on the same page, pulling the same direction. And Natalie really exemplifies somebody that does everything she can to get our office all headed in that direction. So congratulations.
Thank you.
And we have a small little flower. And along with that, maybe I better carry these and go to honor for
you. I'll pick that.
Great, from Benihana. And I'll put a flag here. You need to carry this if you got it all there? Okay. Thank you, Jim.
Okay, Commissioners, we need a motion to approve our minutes from the regular session dated June 27th, 2017.
Second.
Questions or comments? All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries. Okay, under consent, Commissioners, I have two items we'd like to move forward. Item 9C1 is the ninth bullet point on page 3, and a question on, and then Constable Hill asked that we move 9L1 on page 8 to the open agenda. Other than those changes, I would entertain a motion to approve our consent agenda.
Move. Second.
Questions or comments? All in favor? Aye.
Aye.
Motion, any opposed? Motion carries. All right. On page 3, 9C1, for Precinct 3, there's a public involvement. Commissioner, what is that?
This is the contract that you executed on June 26th of 2016 that allows for a firm to help with the Rayford Road project. They do a website for us, receive phone calls, they answer questions for the public, they host meetings, and they've really done a fantastic job. They work with TxDOT, they work with several other counties, and during the process of utilizing them with the Rayford Road project, where we had 60 plus parcels that we had to go in and visit and really make sure that we're handling them as efficiently and as capable as possible, this firm was able to walk us through the process of buying 60 different properties, and never one time did we have anybody in court complaining about it.
About a bond issue?
Yeah,
bond
absolutely.
Issue. Okay. All right. We have a motion for that item.
Yes, yeah, move.
Second.
Questions or comments? All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Motion carries. And Constable Hill asked that we move item on page 8, item 9L1 to the open agenda.
Good morning, Judge.
Good morning.
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 There we go.
Judge and Commissioners, this is Lieutenant Kyle Montgomery. He's with Magnolia PD. We had a canine that we retired, and Lieutenant Kyle Montgomery here was graciously, they had a canine that they wanted to donate to our department. It's a German Shepherd. Name is Rocky. This will be no cost to the county at all, nothing. So I wanted to personally thank Lieutenant Kyle Montgomery and Magnolia PD for donating their canine to our department to try to continue fighting the narcotics that are in our area. So I just want to give a big thank you to him as well as to his department.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Appreciate it. And you have an officer that's already receiving a canine stipend.
Yes. Will be no cost to the county at all.
Thank you. much appreciate it.
Appreciate that. We really
thank
you
all very much.
Well done.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Move. Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Motion carries. All right. Now we come to the citizens portion of the agenda. For citizens that have signed up today to speak,
Judge,
for an item.
Would you mind moving 14A up?
Oh, I'm sorry. Yeah. Commissioner Metter had asked that we move item 14A, an abatement agreement under the tax assessor collector's office, up before the comment. Ms. McCray.
Good morning. This abatement is with Bauer Palco. It is an expansion and relocation, and this proposed facility will be located out at Conroe Park North. It's an office warehouse, approximately 78,100 square feet, that will consist of a weld shop, warehouse, paint booth, lay down yard, parking facilities also, but they specialize in premier pile driving equipment, and we have representatives from the company that are here this morning. But as I understand it, this pile driving equipment is used for like bridges, overpasses, skyscrapers, that sort of thing, right? I did good. Okay. And they will, it will create approximately 30 new jobs and retain 61 existing jobs. And the total project, it's a Category C, which is an 8-year abatement, and with an estimated payroll of $6.5 million annually upon completion. The total project will be approximately $18.9 million added value to the county.
And this is an expansion. Bauer's been with us for...
They have.
What, 10, 12 years now?
It's an expansion and relocation.
Right. Mm-hmm.
Fred, you want to come up?
Yeah, Fred, would you mind introducing these guys?
Thank you, Judge, Commissioner Metter, and members of the court. We have Mr. Joachim Grunemann, who is the CEO now for Bauer Pileco, and Holger, I'll mess up your last name, so I'm just going to leave you there. But if you're familiar with the Bauer site, they formed a joint venture with Schlumberger about 2 years ago with a new company called NeoRig. And so the original Bauer entity, Bauer Palco, was basically, I won't say evicted, that's a harsh term, but they were required to leave, and they left, and they were headed toward Harris County. So we've worked over the last 15 months with them to locate a suitable piece of property that would retain their North American headquarters here in Conroe. And that division of Bauer Palco that goes back in Germany for probably 75 years. But the company reps are here to answer any questions you folks might have.
Well, we're very, very pleased that you guys decided to stay in Montgomery County.
Absolutely.
You've been a great contributor to the economic development of the county, and we're glad you're still here. Look forward to working with you.
And this meets the guidelines of the...
It does meet all the guidelines, yes.
Perfect.
Is that a motion, Commissioner?
I move.
Second.
A motion and a second. I would add, too, that even though we're abating, you know, the county's portion of it, the school districts and other entities will receive their full tax revenues from the project, and we're glad to have that added addition to our community as well.
That's correct, and I think they will be also applying to the city of Conroe for an abatement as well.
Good. Any other questions or comments, Commissioner? All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Motion carries.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you, Mr.
Thank you all for being here today. Thank you, Fred.
Okay, now we get to the citizens' portion of our agenda, where citizens are here today that want to make a comment on items that are on today's agenda. Let me read this brief statement. We will now invite the public to address the court on any items on today's agenda. Please state your name and topic of your comments before beginning your remarks, and public comment may not exceed 3 minutes. It's not the intention of Montgomery County or the Commissioner's Court to provide a public forum for the demeaning of any individual or group. Neither is it the intent of the court to allow members of the public to insult the honesty or integrity of the court as a body or members of the court individually. Accordingly, profane or insulting or threatening language directed to the court or members of the court will not be tolerated. If this occurs, it may result in the cancellation of the speaker's remaining time and or removal from the courtroom. We will now invite public to comment on today's agenda. Questions or concerns about the operations of Montgomery County programs may be referred to department heads or elected officials, as the Texas Open Meetings Law prevents the court from deliberating or taking action on matters raised in public comment. So if there's anyone, there's several of the people that have signed up to speak. For those that did not sign up but would like to speak, we'll recognize you later. But we have individuals signed up to speak on today's agenda. First one is Ms. Amy Hamrick.
Good morning. Thank you, Judge and Commissioners, for letting me speak today. My name is Amy Hamrick. I'm speaking on item 9A1, the auditor report, specifically the contract that Montgomery County has with GEO Group, and they're overseeing the Joe Cooley Detention Center in Conroe. There have been numerous reports of human rights violations in the detention center, and we're concerned that even though the contract between Montgomery County and Joe Cooley provides for a $500,000 yearly payment to Montgomery County for oversight at the detention center, that these concerns are not being addressed and that the actual conditions of the detainees are not being overseen. There is, in Article 7 of the contract, a protocol for bringing notices of deficiencies against the GEO Group and giving them an allotted time of at least 30 days to bring those items into compliance. So I'm just asking, as a member of Montgomery County, that you do take steps to provide unannounced visits to Joe Cooley to see the actual conditions that the detainees are being kept in, and get the GEO Group to bring their oversight of the detention center into line with federal standards at federal detention centers. Thank you.
Thank you for your comments.
Thank you.
Thank you. All right. The next individual sign up to speak is Mr. Howard Kravitz. Morning.
Good morning, Judge. Commissioners, I'm Howard Kravitz. I'm the chairman of the Montgomery County Advisory Board, and I'm here to speak on the master plan, which you'll get a summary of today. I've been on the board for over 20 years and have seen some remarkable changes in our airport. It really is a crown jewel, in my estimation, of the community. It provides a tremendous amount of economic development. The master plan is a roadmap for the airport as development continues. It doesn't mean everything in the map is going to be done, only if the economy evolves the way it is and things continue to grow. So the dollar value is something that's a projection, but not a hard number. I would strongly endorse this plan. Kaufman and Associates, this is the second time they've done a master plan since I've been on the board. Very competent, very well thought of organization. The staff, the airport director, Scott Smith, and the airport users were involved from the very outset. Everybody had an opportunity for input. Everybody had an opportunity to get their oar in the water for things they think that should be done. The big thing to remember is if we want projects funded by the state or the feds, it has to be in our master plan. But not everything in the master plan will get funded. So I strongly support the master plan and encourage you to do so. Thank you for your time.
Thank you. Thank you. Our next individual is Gary Yaunt.
I'm also here to talk about the airport master plan. I'm a board member with the airport board. And I just want to, again, second Howard's comments about the master plan. It's a good plan. I think that this is a crown jewel, our airport is, and a lot of that has to do with Mike Metter there and also our airport director, his office. So, again, it's a good plan. I really think this airport has got a lot of growth coming to it. I think Houston Metroplex is now number four in population in the United States. I think the growth is coming to the north, and I think that sooner or later, probably sooner than later, that this airport might be another intercontinental hobby type airport for us, feeding the Houston Metroplex. So. Again, I endorse this plan, and thank you very much.
Well, thank you for your comments. Thank you. Next, we have Brian Luther.
Good morning.
Good morning.
I don't have too much to add other than these other gentlemen have already spoken highly about the airport. As a pilot and an airport user, I was fortunate enough to sit on the airport master planning committee. And over the course of a year, about five committee planning meetings were had, and like they've all said, I think we've come together with a very comprehensive plan that will continue to benefit and grow this airport for the next 20 years. So, thank you.
Great. Thank you, Mr. Luther. Bill O'Sullivan.
Bill O'Sullivan, Woodlands Township. Good morning. I'm here to speak against or deferring the master plan until more things are known about it. I've seen nothing about traffic count. We've had major renovations that have occurred out there over the years. The facility, which was built by Black Walnut, the extension of the runways. And through all of that, I don't know what the traffic count is. In an airport, what matters is traffic count. The commissioners need to see a three-year daily average. I had 42 air traffic controllers, radio technicians, and diesel generator mechanics working for me. Our air facility was mostly helicopters, which gives you a lot of flexibility, but we still had to land C-130s, C-123s, and Caribous, who all had to turn around and back taxi on a runway 5,000 feet long and 60 feet wide. As a matter of fact, the 130s, because they had the ability to reverse pitch their props, would back up, so they would make K-turns. Our daily operations, which means landings and takeoffs, ranged between 1,300 and 2,400 a day, 7 days a week. When we got above 2,000, we were the busiest airport in the world, except for Oshkosh, on the days they operated. We had limited touch-and-go operations. This was mainly for pilot training, where the plane continues around the traffic pattern several times, principally practicing approaches and landings. Despite our volume, I expect Conroe experienced more of those touch-and-goes monthly than we did. What I am saying is justify any upgrades with traffic volume. Explore what has happened to the traffic volume because of the big increase, big increases. You have to keep a daily count, which is a requirement by the FAA. In presentations that I've seen on this, the traffic count has never been mentioned. Been at this for years. And, you know, it's like a concrete hole into which we're pouring money. It's my understanding it's never made a dime. So before you go ahead with these, now I get the last time we extended the runway, Judge Sadler questioned me, well, we're getting $9 for every $1 that we have to put out. So that means I have to take $1 out of my left pocket and take $9 out of my right pocket? Because every April 15th, Uncle Sam comes around to see me to take my portion of the $9. So I would hope that you would take a look what all these improvements have done that have happened here and see what the effect has been on the traffic count before you commit to spending $600,000 on a taxiway. And I don't know what else is in that. Now, last time I got up here, it was my understanding, I took a quick read of it when I picked up the agenda, and I thought it was a parallel taxiway, and I was wrong. And I apologize for that. I mean, excuse me, it's a parallel runway.
Joe Sullivan, I apologize. Your time has expired.
Oh, okay.
Sorry. Thank you. Thanks for your comments. Next, we have Jessica Shorten.
My name is Jessica Shorten. I'm from Precinct 4, and my comment will pertain to Item 13A on the agenda regarding the expansion of the airport. My father, Mark Shorten of the Laughing Mule, has asked me to speak on his behalf due to the fact he is unable to attend today. He asks that I give this hammer to the court. It's nothing special, just a hammer, and you may use it for whatever purpose you see fit. He figured with all of the hammers and construction that will be going on, you might be able to use the extra tool. He also said if you need any other tools, he has some you can borrow.
Right. We have Mr. Jack Huddleston.
My name is Jack Huddleston. I'm here to speak in behalf of the airport. I'm a pilot and a contractor doing some business, doing some at this time at the airport. I find the staff and the board out there very easy to work with. I've worked in several other airports around the state, and I think this airport owes a debt of gratitude to a fellow that was one of our first contractors out there, and that's Carlin Dowell. Carlin persuaded the county to adopt the rent program that we have in place out there right now. Those of us that are building on that county property are paying 15 cents a foot per year, and then our improvements, in my case, I just got a 40-year lease for 25 hangars that are under construction. That's reasonable, it's fair, and it's competitive. I won't mention the name, but another airport, my son and I were trying to build some hangars. They need them badly. The county, in that case, two counties, split the airport just right down the main runway, and they can't agree on what's a fair price. But what they have done, they have about 50 hangars, and they're renting them at a price that makes it impossible for private enterprise to get in there and build new ones. So we backed off after spending a lot of money studying. I'm happy with our airport here and the treatment that we get here in this airport, and ask that you continue to work with us.
Thank you, Mr. Huddleston. All right, those are all the individuals that have signed up to speak today on items on today's agenda, unless there's anyone else that would like to address the court.
speak about on page 5E1?
If it's on the agenda, yes, now would be the time to talk about it. Yes, step forward, please.
Good morning. I wanted to first thank Commissioner Metter for recognizing and for meeting with me when I asked. Actually, I thought it was going to take a short army of my pleadings to get the funds necessary. I wanted to tell you what those funds are going to be used for because I don't get an opportunity to address the court all at once. A couple of statistics I wanted you to be aware of. That right now in Montgomery County, only 18% of our children that are in foster care, right now that's 869 children that we have in Montgomery County that are either in conservatorship, kinship, or family-based services. Of the 869 kids that we have, only 18% of them are being placed here in Montgomery County. That leaves 82% of our children in Montgomery County are having to be placed outside of county. What we're doing with those funds is really creating... although Montgomery County is doing well, I know that doesn't sound well, but because of the domino imploding of foster care in the state of Texas, every time we have a space available and a bed available in Montgomery County, it gets filled by another county, which means when our kids come in, and we had 38 that we removed this past month, when our kids come in, we don't have any beds for our kids. So we are working on a campaign. Orphan Care Solutions is the bridge between the government and the church. So it's a bridge model that's trying to bring the faith-based community in to help us recruit foster families. So that's what that money is for. And so, Commissioner Metter, thank you. I thought I was going to have to ask $2,500 from each person. I tried to make appointments with everybody. I went with you first because you were the first one to say yes. Thank you for making it possible for us to serve our kids in this community and to try to find solutions for Montgomery County and for our foster kids. I just appreciate that so very much.
Well, we've got to take care of our kids, and I want to thank you, Terry, for what you do. I mean, I don't know if you guys know Terry Jaggers. She's known throughout the state of Texas for the program that she has instituted here. I mean, it's the shining example of foster care throughout the state. And you're to be congratulated on that. She works tirelessly at this. I'm telling you, she puts in a lot of hours. But it works. It helps our kids. It makes a difference in their lives.
Yes.
And I was very honored to help. And J.D. Lambright's office helped us get that put together, and I appreciate your help. But thanks for all you do, Terry.
Well, our goal with that 10,000, I mean, we need, according to the commissioner at DFPS, he said we needed a 200% increase in our foster homes just for us to be adequate and against the federal court judge's ruling. So that's a lot. And so we're in a big situation. I have the statistics just if you wanted to know. Currently, we have 14 families in Montgomery County that are licensed to foster through the Texas Department of Family and Protective Services, and 164 private agency families. So that's 178 total homes. In those homes, we have 480 children. So that helps you understand what's going on. So we are in a severe crisis in Texas, and as much as I'm trying to hold Montgomery County together, it's toppling on us. So the $10,000 is very needed. I could use double that, but I'll come get y'all later. Thank you.
Thank you, Terry.
Anybody wanting to volunteer time or donations, that's a good problem. Thank you, Terry. Okay. Seeing no other requests, we're going to move forward on our agenda. Oh, yes, sir.
My name is Ken Alexander, and this is, it's not an agenda item, but I have to...
Well, we'll have a time at the end of the agenda for non-agenda items. Yes, sir. Thank you, Mr. Alexander.
It's something that could be a time-critical issue for me, and I don't know who to go to.
Okay, we'll have a time at the end of court for non-agenda items. We'll be right back to that. Thank you. All right, item 11A, Sheriff.
Good morning.
How are you?
Good. Yourself?
Good.
Under 11A, we ask that you consider accept supplemental funding in the amount of $31,103 for the HIDA grant period ending December 31st, 2018. Original grant was approved in court on February 14th, 2017. That was for the Major Drug Squad. This is an additional funding for the MocoNet.
Move. Second.
Questions or comments? All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Motion carries.
Thank you, Sheriff.
Hey, Sheriff, I wanted to thank you for your help July 4th.
Yes, sir.
At our 8:30 boat launch. And you've got a deputy, Eric Wagner.
Yes, sir.
Did a great job for us.
I drove through there a couple of times myself because I live in that area, and it was busy. But I saw the constable also had a tent set up, so it was well handled. So
sometimes it gets a little crazy, but we sure appreciate
it. Yes, sir. Appreciate you reaching out on that.
Okay, Constable Precinct 1.
Good morning, Judge.
How are you
this
morning?
Good morning,
Commissioners.
Good morning, Don. As y'all know, we have a good working relationship with the San Jacinto River Authority. And had a little meeting with them, and there's an issue that we'd like to address. At this time, we have one of the highest paid lieutenants in the county working night security on the dam. And the River Authority's agreed to give us an extra position if we can remove this lieutenant off of the dam. And here's the subject is to consider and approve the following changes. Closed position 5511.6010.1, Sergeant Constable, which that position and the individual's retired. And open position 5511.6022.4, Lieutenant Constable. Effective July 22nd, 2017, funding for the change in position to come from step plan. And replace the lieutenant position on the dam that is paid 100% by the River Authority contract with two deputies. So right now we have two contracts. This would give us three contracts that would be 100% paid by the River Authority by making this change. Closing lieutenant position 5511.6022.1 and open position 5511.5910.2, deputy constable. That's the new deputy position on the dam, and create one new deputy position, 5511.2591.0.3, funded 100% by San Jacinto River Authority.
I move.
Second.
It's a change that needs to be made, and it's a request to SGRA and their funding, so I move.
Any questions or comments?
Comment?
I don't have a comment. I'm just ready to answer any questions.
That includes the benefits, the 100%. Does that include?
Includes benefits.
Yes, sir.
And is funding from the step plan, is that inappropriate?
So it's not unusual if we have a change in rank, which is what this would constitute, because they've currently got a sergeant position and they're wanting to put someone that's a lieutenant in it. So we've used step funding for that in the past. Y'all have established that would be appropriate.
Perfect. Sounds great. Have a motion and a second. Any other comments or questions? All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Motion carries.
Thank you all very much.
Thank you, Captain.
Thank you.
Item 13, Conroe North Houston Region Airport. Mr. Smith.
Morning, Judge. Commissioners.
Morning.
This item 13A is consider and adopt the master plan for the Conroe North Houston Regional Airport as presented and as recommended by the Airport Advisory Board and the Airport Master Plan Advisory Committee. Just a couple of preparatory comments. First, I want to introduce Eric Pfeiffer from Kaufman Associates, Kansas City. Mr. Pfeiffer is part of a two-person team that has worked with us on the master plan these last 2 years. And also, his company, Kaufman Associates, did the work on the previous master plan. Company is about 35 years in the master plan business. Just a couple of preparatory comments. The master plan for an airport is basically just a comprehensive study, and it offers a short, medium, and long-term development plan, and really based upon what happens in the future for aviation demand. It's really a strategy for how to develop the airport depending on what happens with demand, and it's a strategic framework. So that in the future, during this planning period, certain demands happen. The airport owner doesn't have to start from zero and figure out what to do to meet that demand. It has a plan in place that it can look at, that it could update, that it could either do or not do, but it has a lot of preparatory work and information that's available. That's really the purpose of the plan, besides being cost-effective in solving demand issues in the future, and also satisfying other demands, such as environmental, and socioeconomic impacts. In a master plan, there is absolutely no commitment of funds on the part of the airport sponsor. It is simply a plan so that we don't have to be reactive in the future. So it's strictly demand-based, and projects that are listed in a capital improvement portion can be accelerated if demand changes, or can be decelerated, or not done at all. And by way of example, I would like to point out that the previous master plan that was adopted by your court in 2003 had about $12 million in projects that were not accomplished because they were not needed and demand did not happen. So that's really the nature of what we're speaking about today. I'd like to ask for your attention for a very brief presentation on the master plan by Mr. Pfeiffer that he's prepared, and I'll turn time over to him.
All right. Thanks, Scott. Judge, Commissioners, thank you so much for having us here today. Appreciate the opportunity. And just to tack on with what Scott was talking about, with the master plan process, it's a prescribed process by the FAA, and they actually require airport sponsors to go through this process every 7 to 10 years or so. So the last time you did this, 2003, so we're a little bit overdue for this, and they require this just so the airports are current and have up-to-date drawings and plans in place, and so that's what we've done here. And so I'm just going to take you through a brief presentation on what we did through this process. This first chart here is a project workflow. So this outlines every task and element of the master plan. And on the left side you see we had several planning advisory committee meetings throughout this process, four in total. The first one was back in May of 2016, and the last one most recently was here in April. So we got through the whole process in about 11 months. And each time we met with the committee, we brought new material, and the committee really serves as our sounding board to give us input on what we're looking at, and to give us ideas on where we need to be going. And they did a fantastic job of doing that. So as you can see, we kind of color coordinate the workflow. The first three elements, the inventory, forecast, and facility requirements, makes up essentially the first phase of the master plan, where we look at existing conditions, existing operational characteristics, both in landings and takeoffs and based aircraft, and where we think that's going to be going over the course of the next 20 years based upon socioeconomic indicators, economic indicators, both locally and nationally. And then the facility requirements is essentially looking at, based upon that forecasted demand, what kind of facility needs are we going to need to accommodate that demand. The alternatives analysis is the second phase, and that's where we essentially go through and look at a bunch of different alternatives to correct either airside or landside issues that we've identified through the first phase. And then the last phase is the recommended master plan concept and environmental review, where we put forth a concept for the airport for the 20-year growth, and also identify capital needs. So we, for each individual project, we break out a cost estimate on what we think that's going to be for the sponsor and what kind of federal funding you might be able to get for that. And I will mention real quickly, and as Scott mentioned, this is not a commitment by the county for funds when we look at the capital program. And in fact, those funds that do come from the federal government through the Airport Improvement Program is funded by an aviation trust fund. So that trust fund is supplied by taxes on aviation and user-based fees. So anytime you fly a commercial airline, you're paying a tax that goes into that aviation trust fund. So unless you are using the aviation system, your tax dollars do not go into the aviation trust fund and do not fund improvements at airports such as yours here. So that is a very, very important consideration as well. So that takes us through the three elements here, and so we are at a draft final stage and coming before you here for approval of the plan. Looking real quick at the operational characteristics of the airport, this breaks out your operations and based aircraft. Our base year was 2015. That's the last full year we had when we first started the project. And so you look at your total operations, about 61,209, and these are counts that are tabulated by the on-site tower. So we do have a very good understanding of the number of operations and the type of operations, both with a more of a commercial air taxi level, as well as the general aviation operations. And general aviation is just everything that is not counted under a scheduled airline or military. So it's a wide variety of activity under general aviation. And we further break it down to itinerant and local operations, so itinerant being those that are coming to the airport from another airport and leaving to another airport, and local remain within the traffic pattern. Most ideally, touch-and-go training operations are counted under local. And I'll tell you, in the recent trend here at the airport is growth. We have seen the operations tick up in the last few years. In 2016, the airport was about 65,000 total operations. So we've seen a nice increase just in the last year. Based aircraft, again, that's any active aircraft base at the airport in a hangar or possibly even on a tie down. 314 total based airplanes, and again, these are areas where we see opportunity for growth, both based upon national trends as well as what's going on locally here in the Houston metropolitan area. Very vast, rapid growth going on, and with all the new developments that you have out at the airport, we see great opportunity for new facilities and new based aircraft and increased operations. So over the course of the 20-year planning period, we break this out into short, intermediate, and long term. We see about a 1.6% annual growth rate for operations and 1.8% for based aircraft. And I'll tell you, that's moderate growth, but it's also way ahead of what you see at most airports these days, just due to the economy in recent years. General aviation has not been a strong growth category. But we do see that here, and that is a great thing. So it's something really to put your hat on and make sure the airport is set up to accommodate that growth in the future. And I mentioned that this is broken out by planning horizons because the plan is a demand-based plan. So we're not suggesting in 5 years or 10 years you build certain facilities. We're saying once you reach operational levels or based aircraft levels within these horizons, that's when it's a kind of a trigger for you to start thinking about some of the different facility needs based upon those demand levels. And that really makes it easy for the airport manager and you all to plan and adjust the plan accordingly, because like I said, your operations are growing now, but if it happens to tick down or grow even faster than we imagined, that allows you to initiate the program based upon those demand levels rather than a time-based plan. Another element of the forecast analysis that we went through is a critical aircraft summary, and this is really important. The critical aircraft is what establishes the safety areas and the separation distances on your airport between the runways, taxiways, and other landside facilities. So right now, the airport is classified as what's called as Airport Reference Code D2 category. The D2 is just representative of an airplane's approach speed and wingspan. So D2 would encompass a Gulfstream G4. Which you actually have several of those based at the airport right now. And you know, that's a very significant airplane, very all-encompassing. And so that would accommodate any aircraft up to that category. And you certainly do have some operations by larger aircraft. The problem is they just don't meet the threshold to be considered the critical design airplane. You have to have at least 500 annual itinerant operations to be called the critical design airplane. So in the future, what we're forecasting is an actual growth in the critical design aircraft up to and including the largest corporate jets in the national fleet, which would be your Boeing Business Jets 1 and 2, the largest Gulfstreams, and that gets you into a category of D3. And really, this is it's an exercise in the numbers, but the impact of changing that critical design airplane is basically nothing on your airport because the design standards for D2 and D3 are essentially the same. So again, I just want to emphasize that we're planning this airport to include and accommodate the primarily corporate jets in the national fleet and everything on down from there to the single engine pistons. Some issues that we identified through the facility requirements analysis. Some of the biggest considerations are on the airfield and the taxiway geometry. So the FAA has put out recently in 2010 some new guidance on how we look at taxiway geometry, trying to create a safer environment. And so one of the first issues here is the connection between taxiway Alpha and Golf, A and G. Right now, your primary runway, 1432, does not have a full-length parallel taxiway. And it is equipped with an instrument landing system. And so as such, the FAA prescribes that you should have a full-length parallel taxiway. So right now, aircraft landing on that runway often will have to back taxi or taxi on the runway which is not an ideal situation. So the correction here is simply to construct a connection between Alpha and Golf, which is already under design and in the works to be constructed. A few other issues, taxiways Bravo and Charlie, and I'm sorry I can't point to these, but you can see they're kind of at an odd angle coming into the apron area to the left side of your screen, intersecting with runway 119. That is a non-standard connection. The FAA wants 90-degree connectors to the runways. And so that's a, and we'll get to, I'll show you the layout there. We also have direct access from apron areas on taxiway Foxtrot and taxiway Delta Delta. So basically, an airplane parked on a ramp or at a hangar can taxi directly onto a runway without making any turns. And the FAA has put forth guidance now that they want airplanes to make turns before entering a runway for safety purposes. So these are a couple of the major taxiway issues that we identified. And so some of the development considerations we looked at through the alternatives analysis and further on to the development concept are extending the runway 1432 to up to 8,900 feet. And so right now at 7,500 feet, that runway is more than capable of accommodating most business jet airplanes. However, in the hotter summer months, and certainly considering some of the heavier business jets, the Boeing business jets, things like that, we want to be looking at an extension of up to 8,900 feet so that they can operate and fly longer stage lengths to the various coasts, not having to stop to take fuel, and it allows the aircraft to operate more freely, essentially. And you do have, with the customs that was recently established at the airport, you have operators coming in from Europe, South America, Mexico, great distances, and so this runway length could become critical. We don't identify that as a short-term need. We don't have justification for it now, and that's why we've pushed it out into a long-term concept. Strengthening the runway up to 175,000 pounds, that is essentially the same consideration there. Those Boeing business jets can weigh up to 175, and so strengthening it so that they can operate more regularly is what that project is recommended for. And then, of course, mitigating the non-standard airfield geometry, and I'll discuss that. Landside considerations are pretty typical, looking at more areas for hangar development, access, and opportunities for revenue generation. This here is our recommended master plan concept, and I realize there's a lot going on here, and it's probably hard for you to look at and see all of this, but I'll point out the taxiways Bravo and Charlie issue that I was previously mentioning. This shows a correction for that, so you do have a 90-degree connector with Bravo and Charlie, and those projects are also under design with TxDOT. So those are the two airfield projects that are being addressed right away. And this also shows the connection between Alpha and Golf. On runway 1432, this shows an extension of the runway up to 8,800 feet. And we designed this so that it would have the least amount of impact possible on surrounding land uses. So we have the public roadway up onto the north side and some residential development off to the south side. So within those extension parameters, we wanted to try and limit those impacts. And so getting to 8,800 feet is possible without impacting the residences to the south and without having to move that road to the north. So that and that is 8,800 feet. We're 100 shy of that 8,900 feet, so that's more than capable of accommodating most of the larger aircraft in the fleet. We also actually show an extension of the Crosswind Runway 119 by 100 feet to the south, and the reason for that is, as I mentioned, with the taxiway Foxtrot direct access onto that end of the runway, if you extend it enough 100 feet to the south, the runway, we can eliminate that connection there and then require aircraft to turn and taxi to the runway end. Some landside projects here up on the northwest side, a lot of just simple hangar development. We do identify and depict here the new access road that comes into the airport, and looking at a new access road moving down to give better access to some of the hangar areas on the south side with security fencing, which will just help improve the public access throughout the system. On the southwest side, some smaller general aviation type hangar facilities being expanded there, and actually I believe there's plans in place to start constructing some of these later this year. And then on the south side, near the Galaxy FBO facilities, in additional development of large hangar facilities there and apron spaces. And you'll notice some blue shaded areas in here that are set aside for detention ponds. You know, we have some drainage issues, and a drainage study was included in as part of the master plan process. And so we put the plans in place to accommodate and improve the drainage system throughout the airport. Phasing, this is the short-term, five-year development phasing for these projects. A lot of these are airfield-based improvements to the taxiway system. Then getting into the intermediate and long-term, these are the intermediate term is a lot of setting up and preparing the airport for an extension of the primary runway, as well as putting in some infrastructure to help support development of the south side of the airport. And then by the long term is when we're looking at the extension of the primary runway and a few other minor improvements that we've identified. And throughout this, we've worked in projects to maintain the existing pavements and facilities that you already have. So overall, the capital improvement program, like I mentioned, we put costs to each of these projects. Over the 20-year time period, about $83.6 million. Local share of that is about $11.2 million. And as I mentioned, and as Scott mentioned, this is not a commitment of funds. It's to give you guys an idea of what kind of projects you can expect to see over the time period if you see activities grow. A large chunk of this, I think about 87% of this, is eligible for federal funding. That does not guarantee federal funding, but you are eligible for it. And if you don't go through a process like this, if you don't update your airport layout plan, you get no federal funding. So this gives you the opportunity to get that federal funding. That is what this process is for.
I'd like to just add also, when you look at that bottom line number on a 20-year planning horizon, $40 million of that projected costs in these projects is related to just two items, the potential for runway extension in the future and also the pavement strengthening on the primary runway. So if those demands do not come, or if they do come and the court elects not to do those things, those two projects in themselves is roughly half of this capital improvement cost that we'd be looking at over a 20-year planning horizon.
Yeah, that would go away if that demand was not there, or if the court decided not to do it.
That's correct.
And also, I'll add on to that. We did an environmental overview in this process that is not an environmental assessment. For each of these significant projects, such as extending the runway, strengthening the runway, you'll likely have to go through an environmental assessment process. And so that will open up these projects to public review and another round of scrutiny by the FAA and here locally. So you have, before any of this is incorporated, you have several more steps before anything would actually start to be built.
Do we have anybody here today that was on the advisory committee? If you would, please raise your hand. And the board, we got Gary and we got Mayor. That all the board members we have. I'd like to, and Jack's here representing the airport users, but I'd really like to thank Kaufman. You guys do a great job. This is your second time. And again, it's a lot like our mobility plans that we do, our long-range mobility plans. Some of them may come to pass, some of them may not. It's just a plan. But I want to thank the advisory committee for their work over the past year, the advisory board that actually it was hands-on. Kaufman did a great job. Scott, thank you. I think it's a great great master plan, and it can lead us into the future.
When you look at the future of Montgomery County Airport, it sounds to me like this master plan is, I mean, the most critical piece of making sure as we move forward, we're doing so in a responsible manner, correct?
Correct.
How many pages is this master plan? The reason I ask is I didn't get the master plan until yesterday at 8:04 a.m., and something that is of this importance, and with a $83 million long-term price tag, I really need more than, you know, a few hours to review it. I appreciate the time that has gone into it, and I want to give my time to complement that and make sure that I can go through the plan, ask any questions I have. So I'd really like to defer this until next court, just so we can have more time to review it. I'd like a motion to defer.
Second.
I second. I mean, I didn't get it till 8 o'clock yesterday morning. I didn't have
I opened it, but I didn't have time to look at it. I mean, there's a lot of data there that I've got some questions. I don't think we're not under a time crunch.
We've had people working on this for a year.
And that's why I want to give them my consideration.
We don't know anything about an airport. They do. And it's not an $83 million price tag. That's the total. All but $11 million, I think, is funded by FAA.
Is there some?
And you don't get that unless you do this. And
I understand.
The last time, same process. We have people that understand the airport. They know what they're doing. They know the needs. They know the demands. They see the growth. That's the people that you need putting this together. And I think they did a great job.
Are we under a time crunch to get? I mean, is there anything we're going to miss by deferring this one court session to have a chance to review it?
And Scott,
Commissioners and Judge, I just don't know about Kaufman Associates and their schedule when they could return, because they do many master plans, and I don't know.
They don't need to be here.
The schedule
is. I just like them available for some questions over the next couple of weeks.
They may need to be here.
Huh?
They may need to be here if we've got questions.
All right, any other questions, Commissioners?
Well, Kaufman's going to be available. I mean, they're not leaving the country. I mean, if anybody has any questions, they'll be here.
We can work something out.
Yeah, sure.
Whatever schedule needs to be worked out.
All right, we have a motion and a second to defer this item. Any other questions or comments?
Yes,
all in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Opposed?
Aye. I move we accept the master plan, and again, congratulations to everybody that was involved. I think they did a great job.
I second.
A motion and a second. Any other questions or comments? I just kind of echo what Commissioner Matter said. Obviously, there's been a great deal of thought go into this this master plan by people that work every day with airports, that work on our airport in specific. So I appreciate the job that you guys have done. So. All right. Any other questions or comments? All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Opposed?
Abstain. I don't want
to. Opposed. One abstention and one opposed. Motion carries. Thanks, guys.
Thank y'all.
Thank you.
Thank you very much. Thank you guys for coming this morning from the advisory committee and the board.
All right. Animal shelter.
Morning, Judge and Commissioners. The animal shelter is here. We're just asking you to consider and approve allowing the animal shelter to apply for a grant through the Petco Foundation. It's an animal shelter grant related to adoptions, and there's no cost associated to this for the county.
I move.
Second.
Questions or comments? All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed? Motion carries.
Thank you.
Purchasing, Kelly.
Good morning, Judge and Commissioners. Item 17A, I'd like to take all appropriate action to approve the contract with the following highly qualified provider per Government Code Chapter 2254 as it's presented on the agenda.
Move.
Second.
Questions or comments? All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Motion carries.
Thank you.
Thank you. Now I need to recess our Commissioners' Court for a public hearing in Precinct 3. Commissioner.
Consider and approve installing no parking, no stopping, standing 2:45 to 3:45 p.m. Monday through Friday signs on North Deerfoot Circle from Many Pines Road East, 560 feet on both sides of the street, Deerfoot Court on both sides of the street, South Deerfoot Circle from North Deerfoot Circle South, 310 feet on both sides of the street. Number two, consider and approve installing no parking anytime R71 signs on sections of north side, on sections of the north side of the street at 18 Huntsman Horn Circle and 22 Huntsman Horn Circle. Anybody here to discuss? No discussion, Judge.
No. Okay. Now I need to adjourn our public hearing, reconvene our Commissioner's Court.
Move on three.
Second.
Questions or comments? All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed? Motion carries. Now I need to recess our Commissioner's Court for executive session under Article 551071. Mr. Court, out of executive session, Commissioners, I need a motion to accept a settlement agreement and a release between Montgomery County and the East Montgomery County Community Center employees to be signed by Commissioner Clark.
I move.
A second.
Questions or comments? All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Motion carries. All right. Citizens, now is the time, sir, for citizens' comments that are on items not on today's agenda. I have one person signed up. Go ahead, sir, if you're already up. Come on. Come on to the podium and go ahead. That'd be great. I'm not going to reread the same comments, but you have 3 minutes.
3 minutes, okay.
Give us your name and what you want to speak to us about.
Please. Okay, my name is Ken Alexander, and I live in a subdivision, Indigo Lake, in Precinct 2, I believe it is. Basically, I was just wondering, I'm looking at procedurals on the Chapter 232, and it talks about if property has been platted and everything else, but if there are changes to setbacks and buildback lines, those are all must be recorded with the county or is actually sent to the county and approved by the commissioner's court. We're wondering, is that the case? Is that the way it goes? You know, Section 232.009 states that replatting comes to you guys to get approved, and that is setback and buildback lines.
Commissioner Riley, you want to visit with Mr. Alexander?
I'd like to visit with you after court. We'll go down to the county engineer's office. We can visit with those guys.
Oh, okay, because basically there's an issue, obviously, you know, the way I read it, neighboring properties are supposed to be notified or plat type changes, and we've got construction going on next to us right now that is doing that, and I see no records in your minutes over the last year that had that in there or anything else, so I'm just wondering where that stands.
We'll see if we can find it.
Very good, sir.
Okay.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Alexander.
He's one of our good state attorneys. Just hollered.
Okay.
Thank you, Mr. Alexander.
Thank you.
Mr. Yollett.
Thank you, Judge Doyle. Commissioners, my name is Eric Yollick. I'm from Precinct 3. Today's Golden Hammer Award goes to Judge James Metz, as probably a lot of y'all might have expected. I have a very serious concern about the county's use of the Net Data database system. And I really wish that the court would look at that very closely. That purchase order actually expires in early August, and of course we're about to go through the budget period. Now, under the contract with Net Data and Graves Humphreys Stahl, the way that the collections work, actually the county loses approximately 9% of fines and fees that are assessed by the four JP courts that use their system. And I can explain that in detail if someone would like to hear how the county actually loses the money. But it's a bigger issue than that. If you look at those four JP courts, they have a total of 58,890 total cases. JP3, which does not use their system, has 25,127 total cases. The total fees collected for the four courts is about $4.9 million, while for JP3, it's $3.4 million. If you then take the collections minus the court's budgets, look at the net per case, for the four JP courts, they are netting $39.22 in fees per case, while JP3 is netting $101.19. This is a loss to the county of $3.6 million per year. And I hope that the court will seriously look at this, and I appreciate it. I know I'm over my time, and thank you for your time.
Thank you. All right, is there anyone else that did not know the rules and would like to sign up to or would like to speak to court on an item that was not on today's agenda? Mr. O'Sullivan.
Bill O'Sullivan, The Woodlands, Texas. I recently was involved in going and representing the Woodlands up in front of Austin for changing the law so they should become a city. And I think Commissioner Nowak is doing this, but I think on an overall basis, the county should be working now to work out in interlocal agreements with the Woodlands, because I think it's to the great advantage of the county for them to be successful in incorporation. And what I mean by that is the interlocal agreements give them a period of time so they can transition to being able to run themselves as a city, so that the county would, for a fee, would pick up certain amount of the functions, for instance, JP or whatever it is, that they can do, that you can do for them and you can get paid for. On top of that, when we went through the whole angst about the homestead exemption, people were worried about $10 million. When we went through the change in medical for the prison, for the jail, it was about $3 million. Well, here you have a loss of responsibility for 100,000 people, and it'll be assumed by somebody else, and that would be relief to you. And I think something needs to be started to start discussions so you guys can help them on their way. They want to become a city. They want to see it's feasible, and work out with them a way for them to do it, which isn't going to, you're still going to get paid, and it's to all your advantages, and you're going to eat up, I don't know, it's all non-incorporated area. What's 100,000 people in the non-incorporated area that we have now? It's a pretty big number. So at any rate, I think it's something that you should be proactive on. Contact them down at the Woodlands and start to have action plans so they can do this. That's all. Thank you.
Thank you for your comment.
Thank you.
Anyone else that would like to address court today?
Yes, my name is John Nix, N-I-C-K-S, from Precinct 2, west side of Magnolia, and I would like to see Commissioner's Court, especially Commissioner Riley, actually hold the fire, get the people working that's on the 149, 1488 overpass. It is still a complete mess. They've been going on since February 2015. It's nowhere near completion. It'd be nice to see Commissioner Riley actually get TxDOT to blacklist this company from ever working on any TxDOT road. It would be nice to have that done and focus more on 1488, a road that's more valuable than any 249 toll road mess that only benefits the elite in the county and all the people that own the property in that area more than the regular people. So I'd really like to focus more on 1488. Thanks so much.
All right. Anyone else who would like to address court this morning? Commissioners, anything y'all need to add this morning?
I got one thing. Are these real hammers that are coming in here? How are they getting in here? They're painting them real pretty, gold, and putting a ribbon around them and bringing them in.
It's not a prohibited item, sir.
I'm sorry?
It's not a prohibited item, sir.
A hammer's not? A real hammer's not a...
Not according to policy, but that's certainly something you can review.
Well, we need to review that.
Yes, sir.
What are you going to do when somebody paints a gun and brings it in here? That's what's going to happen.
Possibility.
It is a possibility.
All right, any other questions or comments, Commissioner?
I move we adjourn.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
All right. We are adjourned.
We all agree.